And we're joined now by an insurance expert who can answer your questions about insurance after Sandy. J. Robert Hunter is Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, the Consumer Advocacy Group. He was the director of the National Flood Insurance Program for the federal government in the 1970s, and he worked for Presidents Ford and Carter as a federal insurance administrator and also as a Texas insurance commissioner. So we're opening up the phone lines now for your post-Sandy insurance questions and also to tell us how it's been going with your claims, because maybe your stories will help other people. 646-829-3980. We've got Bob Hunter of the Consumer Federation to answer some of your questions about filing claims and how to proceed. So give us a call or leave a comment or a question on our website at WNYC.org. Just click on Brian Lehrer Show or call 646-829-3980. Hi, Bob. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
Sometime you and I are going to have a conversation when things are good, because you were last
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you always call when there's trouble.
That's right. You were here after Irene,
yeah.
And now you're here after Sandy, which wasn't officially a hurricane when it made landfall. Sandy was officially something called a post-tropical cyclone, which was not a downgrade because it still had hurricane-force winds, but it's a different type of weather system.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for insurance and for deductibles if what you're insured for is specifically hurricane damage?
Yeah, well, first of all, most insurance policies don't have the words hurricane damage in them. Your insurance is wind in a homeowner's policy.
Uh-huh.
And the problem arises when it becomes a hurricane. Most policies now have what are called hurricane deductibles in them, which range along the coast from 2 to 5% of the value of the home. So that's what's at stake. If it's called a hurricane, or if there are hurricane winds, typically this higher deductible jumps into effect.
I see. So it would be the homeowner in this case who might argue, "Oh, that wasn't a hurricane; that was a post-tropical cyclone."
Exactly. Yeah. What the governors have tried to order that the hurricane deductibles not apply. What they're relying on is the change of name. I don't know if that's going to end up in court. I would be willing to bet it will end up in court.
I've heard about the governor saying that, but is that just an order to the insurance company to not apply the deductible, or is that the government saying the state of New York and the state of New Jersey will pick up that deductible?
No, they're saying you can't apply the deductible to the private insurers. They're not saying they'll pick it up.
I see.
The private insurers, some of them have said, okay, we'll live with that. But there's a lot of grumbling going on, and I'm beginning to think that quite a few of the companies are going to try to apply it. It's easy for them to apply it. All they do is don't pay you. Then what happens, if that happens, is going to be quite a dynamic situation where the governors are saying you can't use it. The insurers are saying we can. Some insurers have language that says if the wind speeds are more than 70 miles an hour, we can jack up this new deductible. That doesn't say anything about hurricane. What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
This is not over by a long shot, and the insurance company trade organizations are already bitterly complaining, and it sounds like there's going to be a fight to come.
Let's take our first caller, Gene and Cherry Hill. You're on the air. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Brian. I have a sailboat that I keep at the Nugget, which used to be the Trump. And in 15 years, we never had a problem. But this year, my insurance company, Boat U.S. Insurance, offered to split the cost of hauling the boat out of the water to protect it. And I did that, and the boat is safe. And they're sending me a check, and I thought that was just great that the insurance company was proactive in protecting my property instead of just a big battle on the back end.
Well, I agree with that. I think it's very good that they should do that. They should spend some of the money that they are going to save to help you prepare for a disaster that's coming. In fact, one of the reasons when I was federal insurance administrator, we kicked some of the companies out of the flood program was that they refused to pay the claims of people who moved their properties out from where a flood was supposed to occur. There was a dam that was about to break, and there was an ordered evacuation. People took their contents out with them, and you know, they had to rent trucks, et cetera. And then the dam held, and the Corps of Engineers took off the order to leave, and then the insurers wouldn't pay for that, and we thought that that was they should have, and we had a big fight with some companies over that.
Gene, good luck. Now, you've been warning about something called the anti-concurrent causation clause. Yeesh. What is that?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. After Hurricane Katrina, we found that quite a few companies were using something called that, the anti-concurrent causation clause, that basically says, they say, that if you have two events and one is insured, like wind, and one isn't, like flood, if you don't have flood insurance, they won't cover either one if they happen at about the same time. So if you have a wind damage to your house roof came off or something, and then had some flood damage, I'm afraid what you're going to find is some companies are going to deny the whole claim, saying there's no flood insurance, there's no wind, but even though we have wind coverage in our policy,
wow,
the anti-concurrent causation trumps, and you lose the wind coverage.
So how do you argue against that most effectively?
Well, you know, a lot of claims went to court, and courts ruled two ways on it. Some courts held that that language was confusing and ambiguous. Other courts, and therefore the company had to pay. Other courts said the language was clear, and they said the company was right, and people didn't get paid.
Your post-Sandy insurance claims questions for Robert Hunter from the Consumer Federation of America, 646-829-3980, 646-829-3980. And Deirdre in Long Beach, you're on the air. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your situation?
I have a FEMA question. I know it's one that many members of my community are having. We live in an illegal basement apartment. It was flooded. We lost pretty much everything. And we weren't sure if, because it's an illegal apartment and we don't have a lease, if we could still apply for FEMA benefits.
Well, that's not quite an insurance question. That's whether or not disaster relief is effective.
I know it, and they had said that on the line, but I don't know if you can help.
And yeah, you didn't have renter's insurance for your stuff, I guess, right?
No, and some people do, some people don't, but they're just not sure if disaster will be effective.
Well, you have to apply. There's an application form for FEMA to apply for disaster relief. Most likely you'll get something, but I can't tell you for sure.
Deirdre, good luck. Now, FEMA does cover flood insurance. So review for us again, where's the line between what FEMA covers and what private homeowners or business insurance covers?
Right. FEMA covers flood, and that's the that's defined as a water coming out of a normal body of water, so storm surge out of an ocean or water coming out of a lake or a river. That's what flood insurance covers. It doesn't cover other kinds of water damage. However, the homeowner's policy covers wind, and so if wind knocks your window out and rain comes in, or wind knocks your roof off and rain comes in and damages your belongings, that's covered under your homeowner's policy. So there is some water coverage under the homeowner's policy, but it has to be related to wind or some other covered peril that caused the water to get in.
Naomi, also in Long Beach. Hi, Naomi. You're on the air.
Hi. It's Nancy. It's about flood insurance.
This is National Get Your Name Wrong Day. I think
maybe.
You're the third caller whose name I blew today. Go ahead.
Okay. If I have flood insurance, does it matter if the home is a summer home or a winter home?
No, it doesn't matter. If you have flood insurance, it's covered. If you have flood insurance on the property, it doesn't matter if it's a seasonal dwelling or if it's a permanent dwelling, it's covered.
You can still collect. Oh,
yes.
How wonderful. Okay, the other question, if it's not a permanent dwelling, can FEMA help out or not?
There are some rules on second dwellings, but it's more it's on flood insurance, but it's more that they don't get a subsidized rate after a certain date. That's in the new legislation. But other than that, it's the same as any other house. And it's also true on disaster relief. You can apply for it if you have losses.
Naomi, good luck. And Michael, also on Long Island. Michael, where are you?
I'm in Merrick.
And what's up? What's your question?
Hi, I live on the open bay in Merrick, and I have flood insurance on the home only, and I obviously also have a homeowner's policy, which covers the whole property. And the damage was mainly, luckily, to the backyard, but it was completely destroyed. I was wondering what the best way to get it covered is. I mean, some neighbors would say that it was wind that destroyed the backyard, and some would say that it was a surge.
Well, you can file. You should file with everybody, just to be on the safe side. It sounds to me that your best chance is obviously in the homeowner's policy that covers the outbuildings. I think that's. I'm from Oceanside, so I know your area pretty well, so I know where you are. I would expect that you might have a chance if you can show that it's wind damage.
What's the best way to show that it's wind damage as opposed to the surge?
Yeah.
What's the best way? It's a great question. What's the best way to show that it was wind damage as opposed to the surge?
Well, you know, some people have videos. You know, you have to look at your neighbors. Is it wind damage to higher structures that weren't storm surged? You just have to get evidence that there was wind damage.
One other question real quick before we go to Governor Christie, who's about ready to speak. Josh from New York left a comment on our website. And he says, I know this might be a reach, but I'm desperate for help. We have renter's insurance for a co-op apartment that we own, but have many valuable things in a storage facility. We just learned that our storage facility was flooded. It's in Queens, and have been told that the unit that we own was flooded, and all of our contents were likely destroyed. We did not have flood insurance for our renter's insurance since we don't live in a flood zone. Is there anything we can do?
Now, I guess you can apply for disaster relief because you're not going to get insurance on that that I know of.
But they might have success if they apply to FEMA?
Yeah. You know, you get disaster relief. It's probably a loan, but it would help. It's a very low interest loan.
All right. So there's that. And while we're waiting for the governor, we'll have to go any second probably. But last week, you warned that the National Flood Insurance Program that's run by FEMA only had $4 billion in funds. Flood claims from Sandy are likely to exceed $8 billion. Does this mean people need to get their claims in really fast so they get in before the other guys?
No, Congress will come up with the money, even though Congress fights over raising budgets. They have to honor the policy. So Congress will have to, there'll probably be some statements on the floor about how terrible this is, but Congress will ultimately add the additional borrowing authority so you can file your claims. It's always good to file your claims fast, though, because they are handled on a first-come, first-served basis.
And before we have to cut away, my guest has been J. Robert Hunter, Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America. So useful after Sandy, as he was so useful to many of you after Irene. How do you see the insurance industry coping with the potentially increased frequency of these damaging storms in our area? Are they eyeing climate change throughout this? Will premiums go up? More tricky exclusions?
They haven't. They always are changing their coverage to try to limit their risk. So I expect that. And I suppose they might opportunistically try to raise rates, even though a big storm in New York was factored into their models. So there have to be some. The insurance departments will have to be careful about that. I basically think they're in plenty of good shape. They have lots of money. They have no problem handling this claim. They should be fine.
All right. And since the governor is still shaking everybody's hand in the room before he starts his appearance, let's sneak in a question from Judy in Irvington. Hi, Judy.
Hi there.
Real quick, what's your question?
My question is, I have a tree on my garage, and my insurance company is telling me I have a $2,500 deductible. How am I best to advocate to not have to pay this $2,500?
Well, if a tree falls on your house, a couple of things. The damage is covered by insurance because it covers falling objects, including trees. The damage. Secondly, if a tree damages your house, they also have to pay for the removal of the tree.
Right. No, they're paying for it, but they say I have a deductible.
They're paying for the removal.
Not the whole thing.
Yeah. But if you have a deductible of $2,500, is that your standard deductible in your policy?
I'm not really sure about that.
Well, you
that,
have to check, because they may be imposing the hurricane deductible that the governor said they shouldn't, so you have to check that. But let's say your real deductible is $500 and the hurricane deductible is $2,500, you should push for the $500 limit, not the $2,500. But if you have a deductible, you have a deductible and you have to live with it.
Judy, good luck. And J. Robert Hunter, thank you again so much for the information.
You're welcome.
And we'll continue in a minute and go live to Governor Christie. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio.